This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, Jen, and welcome to Shrink Chicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks. Today, we're talking about jealousy.
I feel like this is a controversial emotion.
Ooh. Because, tell me.
Okay, so here's the deal with jealousy. I feel like, one, we have been, like, it's been socially constructed that this is embarrassing to feel jealousy. Mm. And I think that there's a big confusion between jealousy and envy.
Yes. Right?
But I do feel like there's, like, this big thing. And you know my big thing is, like, how the amount that we call women crazy. And so I think that, like, sometimes we talk about the idea of jealousy. It's very much used to, like, often oppress women.
And I also think when you think about jealousy, you think about, like, the reaction to jealousy, and you don't think about jealousy, the emotion. Mm-hmm. And so the reaction to jealousy that you're thinking of is, like, the extreme version of, I guess people think of it as,
where,
like,
I, like, bug your car.
Right. It turns into something
bug
controlling.
Your car.
Bug your
car. I don't think you can bug a car.
Also, like, why, is that what it's called?
I don't think so. I think, no, you bug a, like, phone.
I'll put a virus into your car.
Yeah, I don't
think that virus.
No, no, like a GPS, right? So, like, we have this idea of, like, a crazy jealous woman, and she puts a tracker in your car and is reading all your stuff, and, like, that's the idea we're talking about, right?
Right. There's, like, a control kind of hovering that happens around it. So we want to talk about jealousy today. We want to normalize jealousy in a lot of ways. We want to also help you understand the difference between jealousy and envy. And we're going to get into it. We're going to answer some of your questions.
Yeah, we have a very good Dear Em and Jen. Let's get to
really
it today.
Really good Dear Em and Jen. So let's go for it.
Okay, so let's go back to the reaction part, because I think that this is a big thing. Because research tells us that infants as young as 6 months old can show indicators of jealousy. So clearly this is a normal human emotion. That's it. So we want you to know that if you're listening to this and you're someone who experiences a lot of jealousy, guess what? You're normal.
You're normal. You're human. So exciting. So that's the first thing that we want to tackle, is that if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh shit, like, I've definitely been jealous before, this is embarrassing, right? No, you are just human, and it's okay to feel jealousy. I think that it's a very natural reaction in our relationships too. And so what jealousy is our wish to not lose something we have, mm-hmm. right? And the difference between that and envy is when we want something that we don't have. And I think we so often get those things confused.
Okay, so Jen.
Yeah.
Will you tell me the last time you felt jealous and the last time you felt envious?
Oh, God, you're really putting me on the spot.
Sadie.
Okay, I think I can definitely pinpoint more envy than I can jealousy, and I'll tell you when I feel envy. The times in which I feel envy is when I have friends who have more time to, like, text during the day.
Oh, people that don't own their own businesses?
Yeah.
Like, and we can't text during sessions.
Like, so, like, I think some of my frustration with group chats is that I get so far behind in them, because some people, if you have a desk job or whatever, right, if you have some time during the day where you get a break, you have more time to engage in those. And mm-hmm. I think I really feel envy in those situations. And it comes off as, like, anger, like, oh, I hate being part of a group. I mean, they're a little overwhelming to me in general.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
But I think it so often comes off as like, oh, I like hate this. Everyone gets this time to chat with each other. And I don't really feel like I get that opportunity.
Well, and then it's like also like what? You're going to go back and like read from 2 hours ago? Like, right, exactly. Like you get out of session, you have 188 texts. And it's like, cool, I can go back to the beginning of this, or I just don't participate. And then it's the feeling of left out, right? Yeah. So they talk about jealousy, yeah, which is the idea of losing something, which could be your spot in a group setting.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
I mean, I feel like I feel jealous every time I see someone on vacation, or envious.
I feel envious, right? Right?
Envious. Yeah, I feel very envious when I see people that are just better about prioritizing vacations and prioritizing that kind of stuff. That is very difficult for me. I can feel incredibly envious of, like, you without having a child. I think that all, I'm not going to say all, many and most parents have some envy towards their child-free friends, right?
And I can just give you the most amount of space for that.
But it's about what you do with an emotion, right? So if I said to Jen, it must be fucking nice have all this free time, you bitch.
Right.
Well, guess what? That's also not going to bring closeness, mm-hmm, right? As opposed to me saying like, man, like when you have the ability to text in the evening and I am so tuckered out from watching Millie all day,
tuckered out
from watching Millie all day, I can feel very envious, yeah, and then can feel also like I'm left out of something.
Well, and I think the reaction to your envy or jealousy is so important too, because you can very easily push people away in those moments, or mm-hmm, you can bring them closer.
Yeah.
Right? Like that could be an opportunity for you to be like, well, screw you, right? Or like to me right in those group text messages, like, fuck you guys for being able to
fuck you for having time.
For having time for yourselves. But the vacation one, I think, is a big one. I think, yeah, social media,
oh my gosh,
very much brings up an envy in a lot of us.
I mean, I'm jealous. I'm envious of people who can just take good pictures on social media.
How?
Some people are so good.
Oh my God.
Right? So like there's like different stuff like that. You know, like I find myself, somebody wrote in a really good question about like, I'm the default parent and I find myself very jealous of my partner's free, yes, time. And it's so true, right? And this kind of goes back to a few weeks ago of our episode of Radical Acceptance, is that there are certain things you have to radically accept. I understand that you will always, in many ways, have some more free time than me because you don't have a child, right? That's it.
Right.
That's it. I can, right, check myself.
And we've also talked about that much, yeah, you know, that, and that's where to be able to talk about it in your relationships, to be able to say like, yeah, I have a lot of envy, like that's someone else wrote in something about, I have envy towards someone who has a good relationship with their dad, where I don't have a good relationship with my dad. And I think that that's something to really keep tabs on, because I think that that also so happens, whether it's in our friendships or our romantic relationships, where that can really come up. And I think the question is, how can envy exist in your relationships and you still be close?
Well, and let's go through, right? Because this is when it sort of circled back around to jealousy. And so let's talk about this, because we have a few good questions that will help lead our discussion here. How can I better understand my reasons for jealousy, right? Envy is, I see something, I want it, I wish I had it, it's something that I wish that I had, right? So that one you can understand. I wish I had a yacht.
Right.
I wish I had time. I don't know.
Like time, I feel like time's yes, such a big one.
Time's a big one for me, right? So like, right, so I can understand that envy, but jealousy I think is much more of a complex, it's a deeper level, yes, and that's where it gets confusing. So how can I better understand my reasons for jealousy?
I think that to really think about jealousy, the reaction to jealousy can come from and affect these external sources, where I think it's really important to look inward and look internally and say, where is this coming from for me? And so you can look at the insecurity that might be triggering it, the fear that might be triggering it of losing this relationship. Mm-hmm. And any past experiences that you might have had where you have lost something, and that fear of losing something again or someone again can be brought into your current relationships. And so I think, once again, just as we started this conversation, when we think about jealousy, we think of it as this like extreme kind of controlling reaction.
Yeah.
And we so often want something to do with it, right? Like, I have to do something about this. We're going to text them a million times, yeah, until they respond to me. But I think that it also can be an opportunity to look at what are the things that I feel like I'm missing right now for myself. What are the things that I feel like I'm not necessarily getting in my relationship? For example, let's say you're walking down the street with your partner and your partner looks at someone else, right? They're like checking them out.
That meme. Oh, yeah. Right, where he's like turning around.
That's the exact yes. thing that I was picturing. And they're looking at someone else and your reaction is jealousy and you say, what the fuck? Like, how dare you look at another person?
Right in front of me.
That's an opportunity to look inside and say, what does that bring up for me?
Yeah.
Right? Like, am I not feeling attractive to my partner? Right? Do I not feel like my partner wants me? What's coming up for me in the relationship? We're so quick to react to our partner as opposed to say, well, what's going on for me right now? Mm-hmm. And to use this as an opportunity to say, how can I communicate that in my relationship as opposed to react to my partner in this situation?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It feels like a good time to put this little disclaimer in, which is that everything we're talking about is based on relationships that have mutual respect
right.
Towards one another. This yes. does not, none of this conversation about how to use jealousy, it works in an abusive or toxic relationship, 100%. Right? Like, that's not how this works, right? So if something is unsafe, then jealousy is a very dangerous emotion.
Yes.
And I think you started to hit on something which I thought was very interesting is the controlling part, right? And the thing is, like, look, if I'm saying to you, you can't speak to any women at all, that's not jealousy, that is control.
Yes.
Right? Now, this is difficult for some of us that grew up, especially strong purity culture. You have been taught that you cannot have platonic relationships with anyone of a different gender because it's also completely like heteronormative.
Right.
And so it becomes this very confusing thing. But what we're talking about for couples that there is mutual respect, admiration, kindness, we're able to have like, you know, deeper level conversations. Can jealousy be a good thing? Like to show you, somebody said, like to show you something you want to work towards. Mm. Yes.
It's an opportunity.
Yes.
You know, it also made me think about, because we're talking very much about how like jealousy is your own thing to like work through. But we're also not necessarily bringing up the fact that like if you're in a relationship and you were cheated on in that specific relationship, that can very much be bringing up pain from the past in that current relationship, mm-hmm. right? Like we're not talking about you getting cheated on in a different relationship where if your partner cheated on you and you guys are working through it, you might have much more sensitivity to your partner looking at someone else.
Well, everything can feel like a threat then, right? So what we're talking about then is like the trauma response of that infidelity and everything feels like a threat. And that goes back to that like jealousy is like the fear, the perceived fear of losing something you have, right? And so if you cheated on me in a relationship and then I'm worried because you're back in the office again talking to your coworker, I am going to feel incredibly fearful right. of what's going to happen next.
Where that might not have been as present yep. before the infidelity.
And I think that sometimes when we label it as the idea of jealousy, it makes it is like an us problem. Like, oh, you're just being really jealous. Well, wait a second. A relationship is built between us together, relating.
Working together.
Yes, right?
Together.
And so this is where it becomes. Now, there's an interesting term called compersion. Now, this is not a term that's usually used in monogamous relationships, but it's essentially defined as like the opposite of jealousy, which is getting, it's the idea that you get love and excitement and joy from your partner having love, excitement, and joy. And so this is very common in poly relationships or non-monogamous relationships where I want you to be happy. It's sort of like saying like, well, you went and got this, you got a raise or a really great thing that happened to you that has nothing to do with our relationship and I can feel joy for you yes. and excitement for you. And so compersion is typically used in that. And I think for some people, this idea and this concept fucks with them. I mean, and in some ways it's a radical concept.
Yeah.
Well, because we've been taught, hold on, everyone's coming right. for your fella.
But what happens when you hold on to something so tightly? It wants to get away.
Well, you know what's funny is, okay, so a lot of people know, like, well, not a lot of people, nobody here knows this, but you what you know is that my husband and I have gone through a very difficult year. Frankly, very difficult few years with all the miscarriages and different things that we've gone through. And one of the things that brought up was a lot of conflict. And at one point I had said something to my mom along the lines of like, you know, I don't know what is going to happen here, but I like need your support no matter what it is. And my mom says to me, you can never leave him. He'll have another girlfriend in 2 weeks. And I said, no, I will. Like, you're confused. Like, but also it was this idea that like, we've heard this from our moms for a lot of us of that, like,
you gotta hold on.
They'll find someone else. But what if you weren't so worried about that? What if it wasn't about keeping somebody because of the ownership around it, the property of it, or because I really want this to work with this person? And if it doesn't, that's okay too. And I'll make that work, but it has to be about like commitment.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
And I think something to think about too is that, you know, when we talk a lot about emotions and how they like, you can only feel one emotion at once, right? So something I think about is that
I feel like I feel so many at once. Is that scientifically proven?
Yeah, I'm saying that people believe that you can only...
wait a second, lost here.
No, I'm saying people believe you can... You're only supposed to feel one emotion.
I feel 1 million feelings.
You know
today.
What I mean? And so that's why people are saying, well, like, you know, why can't I be happy if I'm envious, right? You can be envious, you can be jealous and also be happy, and you're right that there's, you can feel multiple feelings at once. And something I think you can think about too is that we have this idea that when we're in a relationship, that our partner, I know I keep using this example, but like our partners shouldn't be attracted to anyone else.
It seems impossible to never be attracted to anyone else.
Right. And it almost doesn't give your partner the opportunity to be human.
Yeah.
And I want you to think about for yourself, you know, just because you're attracted to other people doesn't mean you're going to leave your partner.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to cheat on your partner.
No.
Just because you're chatting with someone doesn't mean you're cheating on your partner.
Yeah.
And so I think that sometimes because of our fear of losing the person, we want to hold on so strongly, and that we see any threat as, or anything that might come up as a threat to our relationship.
And that's your amygdala, baby. Like that
amygdala.
That's that amygdala, right? That's like, oh, amygdala. Error, emergency fear, right?
Like I feel like you're using a lot of like, something happening with your computer we should talk about.
Error, bugging, I don't know. But like, right, like that is totally like your amygdala. Like I'm going to look for any potential sign. And so even if I see this text from your coworker that's saying like, thanks for getting that attachment to me, I see that as a perceived threat.
Right. Like, everything. Oh, you must be talking so much to them.
Yeah. Right? And then you create a whole other story.
Right. And so that's something to ask yourself, right? Like, what meaning are you making of your partner's interaction with other people? Right. Once again, if there's infidelity in the past, then there's wounds in your relationship that, and it's giving you information about those wounds. But what meaning are you making of their interaction with other people, their connection with other people? Does their connection with other people mean that it's a threat to your relationship? Mm-hmm. And you could think about it once again. Does your connection with other people mean it's a threat to your relationship?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, can I ask you a few questions? Please. We have a few listener questions.
Shoot.
I'm gonna talk about them.
Let's talk about them.
After 12 years with my husband, why am I still jealous when he talks about another woman?
First, I want to say it gives you information that you really care about him.
You really care about him. I'd also be interested to know, one, what has infidelity and cheating looked like in your life? Is there a legacy in your family? Was that part of a story you had growing up?
Or in past relationships.
Exactly. Past relationships, your own family, your aunt and uncle, whatever it was. Were you taught that men are just complete dogs? I mean, some of us also got like very strong narratives that like men, right? This idea that Emily Nagoski's book, Come As You Are, talks about it, that she hates the phrase sex drive. Because it makes it like, it's like this insatiable drive that they don't have control over. That's not fucking true.
Right.
Right? But we have been given very strong messaging that like men are not to be trusted.
Right.
They'll go out.
They're just horn dogs that need to like
have no control. Feed. Yes, right? And which I think, one, very much underestimates men and their ability, but also makes it then it's about keeping them in and pleasing them, right? That's going to lead to a ton of resentment.
Right, like I have to make sure I'm making them happy at all times. If there's ever a threat that they're going out of the relationship, I must be doing something wrong. Yeah. Right?
Or
there's so much anxiety around it.
Or I wonder if you're worried that you could do that one day.
Ooh, are you projecting?
Could there be some projection, right?
You're struggling with.
If I'm highly controlled and easily very jealous and freak out if my spouse is going out, is that something that I'm fearful of, I'm capable of? And let me tell you, we all have parts of ourselves that are capable of doing shit we don't like to admit that we would ever do. Whether that is cheating on someone, whether that is saying mean things to someone, right? Like the parts of ourselves that we try to push deep down inside, they can sometimes come up and be projected onto other people.
But it, once again, gives you an opportunity. And how about this? We'll take this opportunity for all the listeners. I want you to think about the last time that you felt jealousy. Take a few moments, think about it. What was happening, and what did you do with that jealousy? How did you react to it? How did it affect your relationship? And now I want you to think about, where was that jealousy coming from for me? Was there fear? Was there insecurity? What was going on for me in those moments, maybe that I didn't allow myself to look at? And this is a practice that you can do over and over and over again when you're feeling jealousy in your relationships. And so with this question, I would encourage this person to say that to themselves, what's going on for me? right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is happening for me in this moment that it keeps coming up after 12 years of my husband talking to another woman?
And how do I feel about myself? Mm. Do I believe that I, myself, that your worth, it just cannot fluctuate. Not a thing. You are inherently worthy simply because you were born in this world, right? But is there feelings? Well, after I had kids, my body doesn't look as good, right? Or I, now that we've been, you know, together 10 years, things are different, right? Like, he's not as interested. Or I'm, right, like, I'm not the same woman. And I think that's for a lot of us, is that, like, we're often not the same people.
Right.
You know, when you've been with someone for a fucking decade, you change a lot in a decade, man.
And I think that's scary, right? Like, it's scary because you're like, how do I know that you're still going to love me at all of these different stages in my life?
I mean, when I met my husband,
I was completely different stage of
life. Very different human. Drinking a lot, partying a lot, was, you know, having a lot of fun, not a lot of rules. Is basically no fucking responsibility, frankly. And that is how we met each other. And so it has been very difficult to then be different people and accept each other on these different, like, levels of who we are and growth. But this is when the importance of getting to know your partner over and over and over again. Now, if you're someone who's listening that's, like, not in a relationship and you're like, shit, well, I'm really jealous. Well, I wonder what secure relationships and healthy relationships have been like for you. Have there ever been space for you to actually talk about jealousy in a relationship? If I bring up jealousy to my partner or in my partners in the past and they quickly squash it down, that actually told me that there's not safety here.
Right. Or any, if you're bringing up any anything emotion been, in your and relationship it's been dismissed, and it's right? been dismissed, right? Then exactly. Maybe you don't feel safe enough in your relationship to be able to have some of these conversations.
Right. So if I come to you and say, and we've had these conversations, in some ways we've had some between the two of us, of like worried that, you know, you could find a different business partner than me or find a different right friend than me.
I mean,
we've
had to talk through this so much, I think, throughout the year. I feel very secure now.
Yes, I feel very secure now. But there was a time when we didn't, right? There was a time that like part of it took like years of conversations and like of our relationship to make it work.
And I think too, at least for me, and Em, you can tell me how you feel, but especially at the beginning of our careers, a lot of it stemmed from our insecurity within ourselves. Like,
fuck yeah.
Trying to battle our imposter syndrome and like grasping on to like anything we had. And we, you know, I think that we felt that at different times in our relationship and had to work through it. Why are you smiling?
Because a few weeks ago we were talking about that we used to be, there's times that we've been very competitive with one another, right? Especially when we were starting out, because we're like, you know, if someone could hold more clients than the other, what does that mean about you? Right? Like, you started to make really personalized stuff, even though the majority of shit's circumstantial. But we used to like actually like read each other's schedule and like count how many.
We were so competitive,
right? Count how many clients I had versus you have. And ironically, now we try to count who. Now we do it, but it's the opposite of who is less. who has like a less stressful week, right? Like, but you know what I mean? But there was a time where like, and then how do you think that played out in our relationship? I don't think we were as close.
I think
it got in the way of closeness.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
I think 100% it got in the way of closeness. I also think we didn't build our baby yet.
Yeah.
We didn't, like, have our child. We were, like, building our baby was, like, kind of, you know, struggling to stand. Yeah. And, yeah, I think it kept us separate from one another in a lot of ways until...
Because I didn't feel like I could fully say it to you, right? Right. Because I was, like, worried that I would, like, look silly or stupid or insecure.
Same. And the fact of the matter is we both were, right? Like, we both were insecure. That's really what was going on is that we were both very insecure. And
scared.
And fearful, right? There was, like, a fear of this not working out. And so... But it comes out in so many ways as opposed to us sitting down saying, like, hey, I am so insecure about myself. Right? Can you imagine if we had that conversation?
Were we ready for it then?
No chance. Because when you are feeling that insecure, it's so much harder to say it.
Yes, it is. Right? Yeah.
And so I think we had some of those conversations when we started the podcast, right?
Yes. Like, oh, my God.
Where
gosh.
It brought up both of our
insecurities. I remember a time where you said, I can remember a time, probably like our second episode, I don't know if you remember this, where you said to me, I have a lot of fears that you're going to always outshine me.
Yes.
That your personality is bigger and that this is easier for you.
It is. Easier for
It's easier for me, right? But, like, I don't think my personality is bigger. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I think that, like.
But listen, yes. I think as we've done the podcast, I think it's because it's been such a challenge for me.
Yeah.
I have learned kind of what my strengths are in this and what you know what your strengths are in this.
It takes away the envy.
What?
It takes away jealousy and
it
envy once you do
does
that.
Because instead of reacting, right? I mean, and I tried, right? I tried to say, like, I don't want to fucking do this.
Sally. Right. Talk about a partner who dismisses you. We're doing it.
So I think, you know, especially as you grow a business too, you don't really have a choice but to look. If you want to grow, you don't have a choice but to look at yourself and say, well, what can I do about this? It's not for someone else to, like, take care of me. This is something that I have to work through myself. And that's why people always say, in order to grow, you have to step outside of your comfort zone. It's really the only option.
Yeah.
And so I think as we've grown the business, as we have grown together, that we've both had to challenge ourselves in so many ways and, like, challenge the insecurities that come up for us.
And I think this is even common, right? Because we're not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about all relationships there can be jealousy in, right? I have felt it with my business partner, with my friend, with my spouse, right? Like, one of my best friends who moved to DC, we had so many conversations when she first moved about, like, what's this going to look like? And you're going to find a new best friend. And, like, it changed everything. But it wasn't horrible. And it was the best thing for them. And it was the best thing for us. And it was just when we go to that radical acceptance. But what we're talking about is there room and space in any relationship, in your relationship, to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
For you to first look at yourself and say, here's what's coming up. And then what do I want my partner to do about this? Because sometimes it's nothing.
Right.
Sometimes it's just awareness for ourselves, and it's really nothing for our partner to do. Or sometimes it's, you want to know what? I actually am not over that rupture we had a few years ago when I did find you texting someone else. I do want to, like, you know, be able to check in on your phone sometimes. Like, whatever the thing is that you're saying.
Right.
And how do you have that conversation?
Yeah. The difference there is being able to sit down and respond to the feeling as opposed to react to it, right? There's a difference between
going through their phone without permission.
Going through their phone without permission. Okay. Texting them 5 million times and saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
Those are all boundary violations.
All boundary violations, right? As opposed to them coming home and say, hey, just want to talk to you. Like, this really brought up a lot of jealousy for me tonight. And I just want to talk about, like, what can we do differently next time?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we can do differently? Or is this something I should sit with? You know, like, what does that look like for me? I was thinking on the other end of the spectrum, too, for people who maybe have jealousy that comes up and they think to themselves, well, I shouldn't feel this way. Like, people who beat themselves up about feeling jealous.
Shame.
They shame themselves for feeling jealous, where...
Which actually makes you further from than the person.
Exactly. Because you're pushing yourself further from yourself, right?
Yeah.
The more separated you are from yourself, the more shame that you put on yourself, the more you're going to be separated from your partner.
And I would say, if you're finding that you feel very envious of other people, right, specifically on social media, once again, it's time for a break then. It's time for saying, okay, this is what they're doing. One, it's their highlight reel. But instead of feeling like shit and beating myself up over it, how am I going to log off right now and think about what I want to do? You want to know what? I'm so jealous of all these people taking trips. Maybe I should plan a fucking trip. Where would I want to go? How would that budget look like? What could that time look like? How do I invest in me, right? Because this is all very external. What's the internal world and process?
I'm thinking about I just had this experience with my husband.
Oh, my God. I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say. He just booked a trip to, like, hang out with his friends. And I was like, and I
Yeah, really, you tell everyone else where you booked a trip to.
I know. I don't feel, I personally don't feel a lot of jealousy in my relationship. But I definitely felt envy in this situation because I was like, you get to go on a fucking trip. Like, I want to go away so bad. I want to go somewhere by myself.
And so where'd you book, Jen?
So I was like, well, I also need to get my CEUs.
She has to get her continuing education credits, right?
So I was like, I'll book a trip to D.C. and get all of my continuing education credits at the Psychotherapy Networker for the weekend. So exciting.
Jesus Christ. So your husband's taking an actual trip, and yours, like, I'm going to take a mile to. It'll still be really good. You'll get all your shit done. You'll stay in a hotel by yourself.
It's listen, we're on the same page with our vacations. It's hilarious, like, we have to work during them.
But, right?
Like, but it's something, right? Yes, it's something, I'm getting away. I'm going to D.C. I'm going to stay in a hotel, which is really nice.
I guess. Did you listen to Lydia's episode about actually taking a break?
I shut down completely.
Lydia's going to have to become our personal coach now.
100%.
Yes.
But I very much felt that. And so my reaction to it, at first, my reaction was like, you get to go away. You know, like I was kind of, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere. D.C.
I'm dead.
Wait for me, D.C.
We have a Dear Evan gem we have to get to.
I have no idea what time it is.
No idea.
So like you got to.
No, okay. I got it. I'm keeping us on track.
Yeah, good, good.
I have a question about boundaries with female friends in relationships. My boyfriend, 36 male, and I, 31 female, have been together for almost 5 months, and it's my first relationship out of a year and a half of therapy with an LMFT. Haha! How do I manage jealousy? Yay! Good for you, an LMFT. Okay. His ex-wife and himself talk regularly. They were married for a few years and divorced 4 years ago. He's had several female friends that he met on dating apps that stayed or turned platonic. I have a history of dating someone and pining over the one who got away or an old flame. It's happened to me a few times in past relationships. The last person I lived with 8 years ago was hung up on a high school crush when he ended up hiring to work for him and emotionally cheated. Previously in that relationship, I had read texts between him and his ex about how he missed her and he was only happy with her. Ouch. Before this happened, I didn't routinely experience jealousy in relationships. Ugh. After, almost all of my relationships have had an ex who I felt was who was too close for comfort. I thought I had worked through in therapy, but lately I've been getting triggered by the emotional support he was offering these women. Often texting and having full conversations, even when you're trying to spend quality time together. Lately, it's been for things I can't argue about, like comforting them over a sick family member. But recently, his ex-wife reached out for emotional support about an unexpected pregnancy with her alcoholic boyfriend, and things were feeling really heavy. Then her dad died, and I found myself in an awkward spot. I've tried to remain calm and level-headed, but I did feel jealous in these situations. I know from discussing our previous dating life that he enjoys being the person to offer emotional support in a crisis, often bringing flowers to girls he dated and kept in contact with if they were going through a hard time. In short, he's an RN and a good one, but my interpretation of this is that he needs lots of female attention to feel good and is emotionally involved somehow into his ex's lives. He joked with one of these women that if he was single again, he would do the XYZ joke on a date, and I totally lost my shit, realized how much my anger had been building. I found out because it was shared with me. I didn't want to be married to someone who sits in bed texting another woman he went on an internet date with 10 years ago. I let him know in the moment how badly this hurt me and that it was pushing to be one of my triggers. He said he did not mean to make me feel that way. A few days after, I brought it up again, and the only conclusion we reached is that he'd put his phone away more when we were together. He assured me that this person was supportive of our relationship, and I had met her, and she seemed really cold to me. Another friend mentioned her body language, suggesting she was really into my boyfriend. So, am I too in my head? Is this a hell of my own making? This problem seems to find me one way or another in many of my relationships. I'm not sure if I seek it out and retain it, or if this is something I should not tolerate, or if I need to learn and grow into acceptance. Get me off this ride.
I love that ending.
I love her. I love you.
We love you.
We love you.
This was incredible, first of all. Thank you for writing this in.
Yeah.
I have so much to say.
Okay, you can start.
First of all, I think my first reaction is that, like, I really feel for this person. Yeah. I'm thinking about how challenging that must be after 5 months, just in this relationship. Seeing his emotional connection with his ex-wife and past relationships, you know, just for the fact that it's in that present relationship, and then on top of that, the fact that she's gone through this in other relationships, yeah. I'm hearing how much pain and hurt that must be bringing up. So I think that it sounds like to me that there was a long experience of like holding this in without saying anything.
Yeah.
And at one point it got to the point where you were triggered and you reacted. Yeah. And I think that this, it sounds like to me what you're looking for is more boundaries in your relationship, like more boundaries around mm-hmm. your relationship. And
but it sounds like she's also concerned that if she asks for that, it's her own shit, right? Because like this person who's writing in, who's yeah. very similar to me in some ways, is like very cerebral, right? Yes. She's like, here's everything I can do. I can process this. I can think it through. It's so amazing. And she's trying everything on her own.
But it's hurting you.
But you're hurting, right? You're hurting. The thing that you're not acknowledging is the fact that you're actually suffering here. And it seems like you're actually being hard on yourself for having a very reasonable reaction,
very I think. Very reasonable. It does sound very reasonable yeah. what she's asking.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds, look, they've been in a relationship for only 5 months. And sometimes when you know, go from being single to in a relationship, your boundaries have to shift. But the only way they can shift is if you have these conversations, mm-hmm. right? And it sounds like it's his boundaries might have to shift in the relationship a little bit.
Or maybe you can't give him what he needs, which is to not care.
Right.
Right? That's the part that I think really hurts is like what he's asking for of you. Maybe you're not able to give that. Not because you're bad or crazy or your past fucked you up, but because you're a human being who has different wants and needs, and that's okay. And this is when it gets really, really tough. That sometimes it's not about wrong or bad or somebody did something. Sometimes I just need something different and it's not the right thing. And there is a part we say often, which is relationships are about
relating.
And if
so glad I caught that. I was literally like...
And if you go together and you talk to your partner about ways that you're being hurt, ways that they're not seeing you, things that you need, and it feels like you're sort of just being placated with, or like, okay, yeah, sure, that isn't relating. That isn't seeing you in the pain and saying like, oh, I see this thing from before. Let me come towards you. And I'm not saying that we need to be fucking coddled, but we need to be seen and heard.
Yes. And it's okay for you to go to your partner and say, listen, I'm in a lot of pain. Like, this is really painful for me to see how much you're emotionally connecting with women outside of our relationship.
Yeah.
How could you not be in pain?
Yeah, how could you not be in
pain? Right? Like, that sounds like it would be very painful. And I think that sitting down, having the conversations, like, can we both get our needs met in this relationship? And what does that look like?
It does spring up, right? What we say is, like, sometimes I actually can't give you what you need. Right. And what we said before is like that part is like the not caring. I do care. It does get to me. It does bug me. It does bring something up for me. And I can keep trying to psychoanalyze myself out of it. But sometimes it's just there and it doesn't work for you. And that doesn't mean you're bad or crazy or needy or any of the things you tell yourself. Sometimes it's just us.
And there was one thing and I was looking for it because I couldn't find it. But oh, so am I too in my head? Just as we're saying that, I think it's easy to put this on yourself, right? And say, oh, this must be me. This must be, you know, my past shit coming back up. I must be doing something. No, I think that that's something, you know, it's, we try to take control of a situation by putting it on ourselves.
It doesn't sound like she's done any control, unless she's just left that out. Right. It doesn't actually sound like there's been any controlling behavior at all.
Right. It sounds like you're putting it all on yourself.
You might be underreacting.
Exactly. It almost makes me feel like, this is completely separate, but when parents get divorced and kids blame themselves as a way to take control of a situation that feels out of mm-hmm. their control. And I wonder if that's something that you tend to do in relationships. Do you blame yourself for something that's actually out of your control, and as opposed to setting those boundaries and saying, this is what works for me in a relationship, and I'm wondering if we can talk through that or if we can meet somewhere to be able to figure out what those boundaries look like in our relationship. And so I want you to ask yourself, how much are you putting this on yourself as opposed to expressing your boundaries and saying what works for you and what doesn't work for you?
You say, get me off this ride. So if this relationship doesn't work out, which I hope this goes in whatever way you want it to or whatever is best for you, what I want you to know is that we don't get to actually choose when we get off the ride, but we do get to, from the very start of relationships, say what works and what doesn't work, right? From the very beginning, be very honest about what those needs are of, hey, here's some shit that had happened before. Here's what doesn't work for me. If I notice that I'm with someone who is incredibly flirtatious and, right, is like, has all these massive amounts of female friends, maybe that isn't the best partner for me, right?
Right.
So sometimes it's about looking and knowing that your needs and want matter so much. You don't have to keep changing yourself.
How much can you value yourself in order to set those boundaries in your relationship?
So I hope you liked this week's episode of Shrink Chicks. If you enjoyed it, we always ask you to rate, review, subscribe, follow on Apple Podcasts. You can now rate also on Spotify. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, you do.
You can watch this episode on YouTube, which is actually slightly funny, just so you know, to see us. And we're right there.
Match our voices to our faces.
Exactly. You can follow us on social media, but most importantly, you can take care of yourself and love yourself. And don't forget that to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.